is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live this Saturday morning, September 18th. Time just marches on. Thankfully for that. But we're here live this morning, and we'll have the phone lines open. We've got a full crew this morning. Jason, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And Paul, thank you for joining us, and good morning.
Good morning.
And Brother Zach, the same thing. Brother, good morning, and thanks for taking time to join us.
Good morning.
And Remnant, we welcome you. We thank you for joining us this morning. Like I said, we'll have the phone lines open in just a little bit. Plenty to talk about the times that we are in. Remnant, I believe we are in Bible times. If there was another testament being written, it would be written about the days that we are in. And it may be. It very well may be. We're going to start off in prayer. We hope you've taken at least a little bit of time this morning to start your day in prayer. We encourage you to do that, to abide in Him, and so that He can abide in you. And that is a command that we have, and it's a blessing that's available to us. It really is. Well, Jason, we'd ask if you would open us up in prayer this morning, sir.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we ask, Father, for your blessing upon this program this morning. We ask that you lead us, guide us, and direct us in the directions that we are to go. We pray, Father, that you be with your remnant across this land, that you tend to their needs, Father, and that you just continue to guide them, direct them in all that they do, Father, the decisions that are before them. And, Lord, we just we lift them up to you, and we pray, Father, that you war with those that war against us, and that you fight with those that fight against us, Father, those that make war against us and have their schemes and have their plots, Father. We pray, let them be caught in their plots. Let those that dig a pit for us, let them be the ones that fall into it, those that send those fiery darts against us. Let them return 180 degrees back to sender. Lord, we just ask, Father, that you just deliver Israel, your people, from the hands of the enemy that has taken place. And, Father, those that are continuing to strive to do evil in these wicked ones, and, Father, these that have their wicked schemes, Father, we pray, Father, that you just bind them, bundle them, bring them down to that pit of destruction, that you remove them from our midst. Lord, we just call upon you to do a mighty and an awesome work in our lives, and all the praise and all the glory goes to you, and Father, we thank you for that. And we pray, Father, for that remnant just to rise to the top, Father, for them to rise like cream to the top, Father, for the remnant to have that cup that overfloweth with blessings that comes from your throne and your throne only, and for them to recognize where it's coming from. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open. It's a live program this Saturday morning. And we are Christian men that gather in the name of Jesus Christ. We have our coffee. We have our Bibles. And the topics, well, the talk of the day. What is going on today? And hopefully we can maybe encourage you to love and good deeds. And help you in your walk. We do have the phone lines open, 307-745-5913. And, you know, the big I think, talk of the day, I think maybe we'll start with is certainly, and it was mentioned before the program, the mask mandates continue. They are part of this, certainly this lawlessness that permeates the land, and it is ridiculous how it is. You see, some businesses have gone back to these mask mandates, some haven't. You see the government, the federal government, mandating these things, but yet they do not follow them. Headline this morning: San Francisco mayor defiant after caught maskless in a nightclub despite the mandate. She says, "We don't need the fun police to tell us what to do. This is the mayor." And this is just one of many stories that you see that this is what you must do, but we don't have to. And so it's just another example of the attempt of this ungodly, beastly system that is all about us, doing what they want to do, but wanting to be in control of the masses. I've had people ask me if this regarding this vaccination, free vaccination that everybody needs, and then maybe two shots and maybe a booster shot, and they're working on a pill to take every day, and it just goes on and on. It never ends. It just never ends. I've had people ask me, that, hey, if these powers that be, if this federal government, the CDC and everything, were so concerned about the health of Americans, how come a doctor visit isn't free? How come chemotherapy isn't free? How come, the other types of treatment that they have are not free, but insanely expensive to where most people can't afford them? And I know we've got our Heavenly Father, and that's certainly who we look to for health and healing. But it is an awakening, I think, that's happening, because the enemy cannot stop on their own. They only stop when God and God's people say no. And we're seeing that happen all over. Zach, you brought up a month ago about the town meeting at the school board and all the parents being outraged. And, since then, if you dig a little bit, you don't have to go far. Your neighborhood, your local school board meeting is probably as far as you have to go to see, just as you described, Zach, that people, parents, are angry. They are fed up, and they are venting regarding these mask mandates and the insanity that's going on in the school. Are you still seeing that out there, Zach?
Last I heard, they had a meeting during the week, and they banned the public from being in the building. But they ended up having, I think they had a pizza party outside the building, and they camped out there for a while. And they were only allowing people in to speak. They wouldn't let them in the building. So it's still going on. There's organizations that are still pushing back. I talked to a lot of parents, and they're just pulling their kids out. One guy I was talking to, he was like, "Yeah, we just pulled them out. We sent them over to this other place. We ain't gonna deal with, you know, their mandatory mask stuff." And so, you know, there is going to be consequences to the other side, like, because if you pull your children out of the school, then that school loses state and federal funding because there's not a head counted there. So there are other ways that if you got to, I really think the next step is they have to be hitting the pocketbooks and be very careful where you spend your money and how you spend it. You know, be thinking, you know, who am I helping here? Am I helping my neighbor? Am I helping am I helping the corporate system that's, you know, falling in line, pushing these mandates? And so is it going to be a little more expensive? And the answer is yes. But in the long run, it'll be worth it because you're not doing it for you. You're doing it for the generation after you. And that's the kind of mindset I think we need to have. So, it's not for us. It's for the generation that's coming up behind us. And so, yeah, people are pushing back, and I really think that, you know, my opinion, if I was the guy in charge with all that stuff, then that's what I would be preaching to these people.
Yeah, the old saying, put your money where your mouth is, that does seem to apply, and that seems to be about the only way to get these, their attention, especially regarding the school boards and at least on the local levels. They've done the same thing here. They were outraged. Oh, the parents, there were hundreds of parents that showed up at the school board meetings. And the parents, they didn't want the mask mandates. They wanted their children to go back to school. And the school boards said, well, we're going to, just the first 5 days, the first week of school, we want everybody to wear a mask just till, you know, because they're coming in. Oh, I saw the little news feed on it, and it sounded very, you know, very appealing, and it reminded me of the Bible when it says, you know, when they say peace, peace, you know, they're preparing for war. There's no peace. And that's what it sounded like just for the first week, and then everything's back to normal. They've extended that twice, just like they did last year. Because it's their MO, their method of operation. It's what they do, and they've continued to. But Zach's seeing the same thing here, seeing people take their family, their children out, seeing families do that, take their children out of public school. There's a local private school. We're a very small town here that has their enrollment has doubled, and they're not requiring masks. And so you're seeing that. I think you're seeing it all over. I'm hearing of it in Florida and in Missouri as well. Paul, you always have some good comments on this.
Well, the line's being drawn. You know, I kind of was sitting here thinking, like, why are you kids in that damnable school anyway? You know, I pulled mine out 40 years ago, close to. And I didn't like what they were in a religious school, and I didn't like what they were teaching them back then. And it's not as, and there's hidden agendas in all the curriculum. When the Bible tells you to teach your children, you're rising up, and you're lying down, and you're going out, and you're coming in. I mean, this is a parent's job. Now, if you can collectively get a school that will teach those kind of values, that's fine, you know, because it isn't for everybody, because I've seen homeschoolers that shouldn't be homeschooling. But the thing of it is, it's the parents' responsibility to know what's going on and with that curriculum and everything. And we can't save Babylon. You know, these people want to go back to school and stuff. The line's being drawn. I mean, what, you wear a mask, you don't. That, there's big divisions in families over this this whole issue that we're talking about. And a division, and the line is being drawn. And then the bright part is when the Saxon begins to hate, crap hits the fan. And that's in the process of doing, as I see it.
Amen. Amen.
Paul, you're absolutely right. I was talking with this one guy, and he was telling me, and I was, there was actually three of us. This was just a couple of days ago. We were throwing ideas around to like what to do and how to like and how to dig it to the local government. And there was ideas being thrown out there, and the one guy says, "Well, there's nothing you can do. They'll just do this. They'll just do that." You know, and his mentality was like, you're just in a lose-lose situation. And I said to him, like, well, if you think that, then you are absolutely right for you. But that's not me. And I think I can do something about it. And I am doing something about it. And, you know, there's certain, and it's just, and it don't take much, but there is things that you can do about it. And people need to believe in themselves and believe into the and believe in the abilities that God gave them, then they can do it. Because we all know, anybody on this ministry, what's the percentage of people that actually fought the Revolutionary War of the general public? It wasn't very much. And it doesn't take very much to take them down, because those big people, they live on a very small percentage of profits for their big businesses. And I think it's only like 1 or 2 or maybe 3%. And they live very comfortably on it that they're so big. So you only got to convince 3% of the people to start acting that way. And then it's really, and then you can do it. You actually can do it. And people need to believe in themselves. And I see people believing in that they can do stuff. And there's going to be a big change. And there is a big change. I mean, Rome didn't fall in a day. And it's a process. And you see it starting to turn, and on which way it's going to go. I don't think people have an end game vision. And I think is what they need is an end game vision. What kingdom do we want after this one? Do we want God's kingdom? Do we want God's government? Or do we want to replace it with another man-made government that's just going to get Babylonianized again? And you know, you sit there and you read the old law, and it says to teach your children the way that they should go. And that means teach them the God's ways, his law, his government as well. And it just people need to know, well, what's the end game? If you don't give them the end game, then they're running everywhere. They're grasping at straws. And that's where the church is given, and they don't offer them any hope either. So, you know, where do? It starts one by one. One by one, people like us telling them, this is the end game. This is the end game. We can do it. You need to believe in yourself. And you need to believe in the ability that, you need to believe in the Word of God. You need to believe the Word of God is true. You know, you got to define who Jesus is. You know, who is Jesus? He was the Word that became flesh. And then, okay, well, what was that? Well, that was the Old Testament. From that person's point of view. And you got to get them back into it. And you got to get, okay, well, if I do this, then our country does this, then, you know, they read Deuteronomy, then this is going to happen. Well, I'll be dead. Look around. This is what's going on. The Word of God is true. You know, so you got to give, people need a vision. And if they don't have that vision, which they're not getting it at the churches down on the corner, you know, and it's our responsibility, it's the remnant's responsibility to give them that vision. And if they introduce them who the real Jesus Christ is, because they believe in a fake one. And it's our job to teach and to introduce them to the real one. Does any of that make any sense?
Makes perfect sense. It does. I had a neighbor text.
No, that's exactly.
Had a neighbor text me yesterday.
That's exactly true.
Go ahead, Paul.
That's exactly true. When you lose your vision, you have nothing because everybody's desperate to hold on to their stimulus checks and the right now, the you know, living, even just living. Most people are afraid to die, and that's the thing. When you get a vision long term, beyond the next 100 years, then you are the same person. And they've lost their vision because they don't know the word. You know, I was thinking before the program, we should talk about what the Bible does say and never taught. Like Jesus was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and God created sin, and give your money in secret, all that kind of stuff. That's never taught, you know. And that's why I think we've lost our vision. You know, my tax bill is not anything really if I took what goes out to the schools. See, and this is what we have to do is cut off their funding to take care of it. This country was founded on a tax revolt. Gideon was a tax revolt. There have been several of the tax revolts in the thing. And when they can tax you, there's no stopping them because we're financing them.
That's yep. Right. Absolutely.
We're giving them our labor. And that's what they know it, but I don't think they actually, like, have their heads right. We are the ones that are funding all this. Our energy is going into it. Our labor is going into this and funding it. And, you know, they laugh at us. They laugh at us because of it. We're funding it, and we don't know what to do. One guy was yelling at the meeting there. He's like, well, I'm going to put my property tax in an escrow. And then you guys come and get it. So, I mean, there are things that you can do, you know. You just got to be willing to do it.
Yeah, you got to be willing to give your life for it, too.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what it comes to,
forget,
you know, that's
don't
right.
Don't forget.
Property over it, too. I mean, you know, and, you know, it's a Babylonian system, so.
Don't forget what Pastor Peter said.
I think a lot of what's going on, too, is you look back at Jeremiah 23, I think it says a whole lot, you know. Jeremiah 23, and I have that cross-reference in my Bible to Ezekiel 13, but it says, woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning the shepherds who are tending my people. You have scattered my flocks and driven them away and have not attended to them. Behold, I am about to attend to you for the evil of your deeds, declares the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flocks out of all countries where I have driven them and bring them back to their pasture, and they will be fruitful and multiply. Dropping on down to verse 11, it says, for both the prophet and priest have been polluted. Even in my house I have found their wickedness, declares the Lord. Therefore their way will be like a slippery path to them. They will be driven away into the gloom and fall down in it. For I will bring calamity upon them, the year of their punishment, declares the Lord. Moreover, among the prophets of Samaria, I saw an offensive thing. They prophesied by Baal and led my people Israel astray. Also among the prophets of Jerusalem, I have seen a horrible thing. And if we drop down to 18, this Jeremiah 23 chapter is a chapter that really everybody should just, you know, take the time and stop and read. But continuing on in 18, they say calamity will not come upon you, but who has stood in the counsel of the Lord that he should see and hear his word? Who has given heed to his word and listened? Behold, the storm of the Lord has gone forth in wrath, even a whirling tempest. It will swirl down on the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has performed and carried out the purpose of his heart. In these days, you will clearly understand it. And I have that underlined in my Bible, and it says, in the last days, you will clearly understand it. I did not send these prophets, but they ran. I did not speak to them, but they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have announced my words to my people, and would have turned them back from their evil and from the evil of their deeds. And I don't know. It's been upon my heart that is one of the. I've been spending a lot of time in Ezekiel, but lately I think that that's where we're at. And I think we're going to understand it, and I believe that. There's a lot of things going on, but how many people are loving their neighbor as themselves right now? Spend some time in Matthew and figure out what that is. You know, people want to complain about what the government's doing, but what are they doing? And people have got the government that they deserve. God has always used government, the authorities, to chastise his people. And is what people need to be realizing is that they're being chastised for what they've done.
Amen.
Yeah, that says, you're talking about, you know, everyone likes to throw Romans 13 out there, but if you go through and you read that, and it tells you that the government is a minister of the Lord. They are pushing the punishment of God, and it lines up perfectly with the obeying and disobeying of his law as a nation. So they literally is what they are. They are a barometer. They tell you how far away from God you are. And there's not a lot of people that look at it that way. And Jason, I agree with what you said. Well, I have to, because you read it right from the Bible about the prophets.
I was going to say, if you're going to argue with that, you're going to have to take that one up with God.
Yeah, and about the shepherds being the misleaders of his people. So who's the ones to blame? Is it the government? No. No, it's not. It's the churches. That's where the blame goes, because they haven't led the people properly. And, I mean, anybody that knows me knows that I'm very willing to point that out. Now, most people that go to those churches, they don't want to accept that, and they don't want to believe that. And they say, wow, you know. But the truth hurts, and, you know, it's like Pastor Peters used to say, you might like your preacher now, but you ain't going to like him on Judgment Day or in the future or however he used to say that. And, you know, all these guys out there thinking that they're going to, you know, these rapture people and these and that, thinking that they're going to escape all this because, you know, they're in the know. They're the culprits, and they're completely oblivious to the fact. And because they go along with what they say. I can talk about this all day.
Well,
yeah,
you said something about loving.
Go ahead, Paul.
You said something loving your neighbor, Zach. It ain't all my fault. Someone won't let me love them, and you know it's not always it ain't all my fault. I'm just saying. You remember when you didn't like me?
I do remember that. But then on the other hand, there's some neighbors that really push you to the edge to where there is definitely some holy hate that is warranted. Because, you know, what it really boils down to is neighbors, if people are greedy. People are greedy, and you don't have to approve their greed. You don't have to sit there and, I'm not saying being a wimp and being spineless. I'm not saying that. And, you know, because you, Paul, you know as well as I do, you want everybody to do, you know, if they're an Israelite and they're not the seed of Satan, you want them to do well in life. And, you know, we want their families to do well, and we want their families to be healthy. And, you know, we want all the same things for them as we want for ourselves while we're here on earth. And that's loving your neighbor as yourself. You want them to prosper. You want them to be good. You don't want them to lose their farms and go bankrupt. There's plenty of vultures out there that want that farm. And I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. I mean,
well, that's, we are to be that.
You definitely need to, go ahead.
We are to be that light in the world. You know, Matthew 5 tells us that. Verse 14 says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now, that's not preached a lot, as you said, Paul, because, oh, works. No. Jesus did it all. We just believe, and that's it. But these are red letters. You know, Jesus says, light. How do you let your light shine before men? In such a way that they see your good works. You don't do the works to let it, but that's how that works out. It is. And like you said, Jason, how many people are loving their neighbor as themselves versus how many are coveting their neighbor's wife or wanting their neighbor's farm, as you guys mentioned, Zach. And it is that battle between man's system, the sin and the greed, and God's in overcoming those things. And loving God, and God said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and loving your neighbor. And it truly all rests on that, just as Jesus said. And the light does shine in this dark world. And, you know, Remnant, whether you realize it or not, if you're doing these things that you've heard today, if you're talking to others, explaining others, pointing out what the Word says, I like how, I guess you put it, Paul, we're not saving Babylon. You know, we're not, that's not going to happen. And people are realizing that. And when we point that out to them, when you point that out to them, Remnant, and point them to the Word, that's letting your light shine before men. It is good works. And if there's ever been a time for it, it's now. To give people hope, because they have no hope. I had a neighbor text
me. Look at the vision.
That, just something real quick, and then and said, you know, it's just astonishing. We're almost 2 years into this scamdemic, and there's people that look absolutely afraid when I walk by them maskless in the grocery store. And I said, yep, they are. They are scared to death. They have no faith. And the reply was, well, they should be scared to death apart from Jesus living in a perilous world. And more and more people are seeing that. And the people are. They have no hope, the majority of them. And they are. They are scared to death out there. But the harvest is ripe. It is. They are. So many of them are. People are looking for answers. They want to have hope. They want to not live in anxiety and fear. Trusting in obeying the Word, which is Jesus Christ, it was mentioned earlier, is really the only way to do that. Paul, go ahead.
Look at the vision that Moses and Aaron had. They looked at that Red Sea. Now, if they could see as far as the vision they could see that they never seen, they would be standing in America. But this is how it all started. They come across that Red Sea, the Jordan River, and the Caucasus Mountains, and it ended up in America. But if that's the vision that Moses and Aaron had, they didn't even know what it was, is what I'm trying to say. And that's the vision, you know, and we have to have that vision right now, too, because, you know, God's doing something amazing. You know, if you look around the world, what's going on, it's just getting hammered from one end to the other with floods and hail and everything, just and the whirlwinds and you name it. It's God is doing it before our very eyes. But my point is that vision that we have, and we got to realize that as Moses and Aaron stand here, there's another thing coming too, and that's that vision. You know, Jason said he's not afraid to die, but I'll tell you what, Peter said it, not afraid to live either. You know, not afraid to die. That's kind of defeated when you think about it. Well, I'm not afraid to live and all. If he takes this out in the process, that's his business, but I'm not afraid to live.
I got a wonderful story that represents loving your neighbor as yourself. So early last week, I had to go pick up my youngest two at school, and my daughter went out and was swinging on the playground, and she had some money in her pocket, and it fell out, and she didn't realize it. And she was a little upset that she lost this money. And so this was, 10 days ago. And then I was back there again with my daughter, and this little boy comes running up to my daughter and says, "Did you lose some money on the playground last week?" And she goes, "I did." She goes, "It was this amount." And he goes, "That's how much me and my grandpa found. I turned it into the office." And we went and we got it from the office. And the office lady said, "That little boy just came here every single day, worried sick about the owner of that money not having it and being able to get what they need." And when she told me that, I was moved. That is loving. That little boy didn't know who it belonged to. And I was like, "Oh my gosh, that is loving your neighbor as yourself." I can't think of a more pure, perfect example than that, what happened right there. Can you guys think of a better example than that?
Especially out of a child.
That was right. Wonderful.
That's right. Yeah, see, that shows you there's some good parents. There's some parents that have been involved and have, as you said earlier, Paul, taught what needs to be taught. Because even in most children, when you what do you hear? Finders keepers, losers weepers. I mean, that's the norm today, unfortunately. But that is encouraging. That is.
Yeah.
Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913, if you'd like to give a call. And it is encouraging that people are waking up. I know we've mentioned that before, it is normally when our people get hit in the pocketbook that gets them to wake up. Just like we talked about hitting the school boards and whatnot and how we fund, the evil that's in the land. It is that way with our people as well. And they are getting hit in the pocketbook. The government tax mandates, the economy, gasoline, $2 more a gallon than it was less than 2 years ago. Food prices are up. Consumer good, what they call that, the consumer price index is up. It is just everything has gone up except wages and salaries. And a lot of people are seeing that and realizing that it is gather more straw, make more bricks. You still got your bills. You still got your credit card bills. Still got your taxes to pay. And that hasn't slowed down. Well, let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, morning, brothers. This is Patrick in Minnesota.
Well, good morning, you guys,
Patrick. I just wanted to call in. Thank you for the vaccine exemption letters. My wife is, she's a nurse. And they really been pushing that hard out here for the nurses to get vaccinated, but there's pretty good resistance. So I don't know how that's going to work out for them. I had plenty of nurses already quit their jobs. They said, we're not doing this, So, so in Minnesota, they can't mandate Minnesota. So under Minnesota law, but they can't under God's law either. So, so they kind of got themselves in a pickle here, a little bind, and So, yeah, it was good listening to you guys, the conversation this morning. It's a beautiful day here. Birds are chirping. We've had some rain, you know, been blessed with some rain. You know, everything's turning green now again. So, you know, it's that latter rain. So, yeah.
Amen. Amen. Well,
good. And that's good. And yeah, and as like Patrick was saying, you know, about that exemption form too. If you need one of those, contact us. We can get those to you. We can get them filled out and get them mailed off to you, notarized. And anybody else out there that needs one of those, I know there's a lot of people that have been writing in. Just got another pile of them that just showed up. And, you know, we are doing what we can do on that front to help the remnant out. So, you know, let us know. We are doing that. So keep that in mind.
Amen.
Well, I guess this is a good time to bring it. When you go to the doctor, let's say, for example, that you know you broke your arm, and they want to do surgery on your arm. Say it was a back break, and when you go to that doctor, and you start signing all these forms, what you are doing is you're giving that doctor permission to perform that procedure on you. And you, in reality, are the boss. And you can dictate what happens to you.
Correct.
And so people don't understand, like, you know, there's a lot of opinions going out there. There's like, you know, well, I should be vaccinated, mandated. That's an opinion. So, and it does,
that's why I'm saying should be mandated after the age of 30. I mean, it's, you know, or go get your tubes tied after you've had so many kids. I mean, it is nothing more than an opinion, and there's nothing different about it.
Right. So if you're feeling good, are you going to go to the doctor just because, like, you might have something? I mean, I don't. If you see me in the doctor's office, it's because I don't feel I have any other option. And there's going to be
you're
going to
die
involved.
If you don't.
Yeah, there's going to be some pain involved, and something's getting yanked or stretched out or, you know, set back into place. It's because I don't think I got another option. And it has happened in the past with me because I'm like, okay, I have to do something. But there again, you have to give permission, you know. And I was on the fire department for like 10 years, and I've seen people refuse medical attention that I knew they needed medical attention. And you know what? There wasn't a darn thing anybody could do about it because that person was in charge of their own body. And I'm talking broken bones, like major stuff. I've seen people get in their buddy's car and go home, you know. So, and there's nothing that they could do. So, and all this stuff that you see is just like the Wizard of Oz. And you got to say, just because everybody thinks it, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, I mean, I remember when I would get toned out at 2:30 in the morning, I would think somebody left the bar, they're drunk, they got in a crash, because that was the time frame. And 9 times out of 10, that's exactly what happened. So, you know, this is. It is what it is. I mean, you don't have to. And if somebody doesn't want to serve you at a restaurant because you haven't been vaccinated, go someplace else. They don't rate your money. They don't rate your energy, your labor, and that is represented in that money. To heck with them.
That's right.
That's it.
Yeah, people are realizing that they don't have to, period, fill in the blank. They don't have to shop where they've always shopped. They don't have to buy where they've always bought. They don't have to live like they've always lived. That they that there, you know, especially when it comes to the Lord, that there is a better way, and that they can, just like, you know, we've talked about, like, the farmers markets and you know, buying from your neighbors. You can find, if you want to find raw milk, you can find raw milk anywhere in this nation. It's just a matter of doing that. So, well, Patrick, thank you for the call, brother. You have a blessed weekend. If you go to,
I was at the grocery store the other day, and they have a thing there, if you want to give a milk to somebody that can't afford it. The lady asked me, do we want to give to that? I says, you know what? I don't. But I says, I got a couple of cows. If they want to come out and milk them, they can. You know, I said, I'm a terrible person, but I don't like this system that just gives away stuff. And she says, I agree with you.
Yeah. Hey, guys, let's try the phone line again. Good morning. Thanks for holding. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, thank you for taking my call this morning.
Sure.
My name is Doc. I live in Florida.
Well, good morning, Doc.
No, I just wanted to share my two cents worth. I have a little background. I'm certified in my own state to do workers' comp, as I can accept a client that has workers' comp. And I just wanted to share one thing real quick. It's for a worker to show up at work, he has to be ready, willing, and able. That means he's got boots on, and he's had a meal, and he's got some gloves or whatever he needs to do or the work that he's supposed to do. And when they call people in and they tell them, well, we're one of them businesses. We've got more than, we've got 150 employees, and Uncle Joe said, you know, blah, blah, blah. And you just tell them straight out, like, I'm scheduled to be here at 9 o'clock and I got my boots on. And if you're going to send me home, I'm going to take it up with the wage and hour board, because I'm ready, I'm willing, and so on.
And able.
Yep.
And I just wanted to say thanks for letting me share, you guys.
Well, sure, Doc. Thank you for the call. And
I appreciate it. That's one of the things that, and right there, that's three things then, you know, that's hard to find in people. But it, yeah, certainly it's, you know, anybody that says that they can't work out there, well, they got some serious problems. Because there's people that are hiring all over the place, and people can go to work. I mean, there's help wanted signs all across this nation right now, and it's the mentality of people is the reason that they're not showing up for work.
Amen. Doc, thanks a lot. You have a blessed weekend.
I pulled up to, there's a bunch of homeless people standing there, need work, coming out of the Home Depot parking lot the other day. And I pulled up there, and I don't know, I guess they caught me in a bad mood, but I pulled down the window, and they came running over, and they thought they were going to get a handout. And I said, you need work, then go get a job. I didn't put it that politely, but I told them, go get a job. I'm like, there's jobs all over the place. There's help wanted signs everywhere. I'm like, you want to work? Get a job. They didn't want a job. They wanted a handout.
Amen. Amen. You know, you see that all over.
And there's a lot of people that have jobs that don't want to work. I mean, it's you know, I mean, it's an epidemic. But you know, that's fine. It's you know, it'll work itself out.
My brothers and I got two brothers, and we have a saying, and it's called necessity creates motivation. And if you need something,
I like that.
You'll get motivated to go do stuff. Because, and Paul knows this, when me and my brothers were in our 20s to like early 30s, there was a lot of necessity and a lot of motivation that was created out of that. Because, you know, we just understood, you know, there was nobody there to help us. There's nobody going to come and help us. We got to be, I mean, and, you know, like, but that was our mentality. And, you know, like Paul and a couple other guys, like, you know, they would, you know, they'd get us work and stuff like that and, like, help us out. But, you know, I remember when I was, like, you know, 23, 24, 25 years old. And, you know, back in those days, I mean, I had the collar on and I kind of hate to say it's a case of beer in the fridge. I thought I was setting pretty good. But, you know, but I knew I needed to, there was nobody going to come and pay my bills for me. I knew that.
Right.
And, like, there was only one way out of this, and I got to go out there and I have to perform. I got to go. And I'm glad I went through that hard time. If I didn't go through that hard time, then I wouldn't be the guy I am today. It's like if I never met Pastor Peters, I wouldn't be the man I am today. And if Paul wasn't pushing me, I wasn't the man. I wouldn't be the man I am today. And I kind of like that guy. And so, I don't know. That's just my little rant.
Amen. Well, we got time for take one more caller. Good morning, caller. Welcome to the program. Hello there. Good morning. You have to turn your radio down. Well, that's all right. Yeah, when you call in, you have to kind of have to turn your radio off. It creates a feedback, and so you can hear us when we give you a call. Jason, I just got a text from Brother Patrick. He said you should have thrown out a pair of work gloves to those people wanting to work, not wanting to work. Yeah, they'd. I think they'd just trade them in for a hit of pot or something, or whatever they call that. Well, guys, we're running out of time this morning. You know, Zach, I couldn't help but think when you were mentioning that you came to the realization, you were forced to realize that it was up to you, that nobody was coming, you know, to save you. Nobody was coming to make your life easy. That's not anybody's job or responsibility. And and those that did help you, like you said, Paul, what did they do? They offered work. They said, hey, I got this that needs doing, and it pays, but it's work. And that's what teaches. That's what teaches our children. That's what teaches... that's how we learn, is that you know, if you don't work, you don't eat. And unfortunately, that's God's way, and that has been lost on generations today, because man's ungodly system has tried to mimic that, and they call it charity, they call it love, but like you mentioned, Paul, it's, hey, we're charitable, but you know, I've had to work for everything I've got. And that's how we teach our children. And, you know, that's what this world needs to learn. You know, these freeloaders, you might say. You know, somebody that's disabled, somebody that's sick, that's different. But these that are able, they may not be ready or willing, but they're able to work. They should be working. They should be.
I got a quick story. So when we'd be setting stuff up winter work, me and my two brothers were always paranoid about winters because we'd all been through some pretty severe broke winters, and like, well, oh my gosh, winter's coming. Like, we always would say that, and all the other guys would be like, what's wrong with winters? Like, you have no idea. And so, like, this one guy, he was actually on my crew. He quit and went out on his own. Well, he owned two rental houses. He's just a young guy. He's like 25 years old. And he owns these two rental houses, and he's playing the banking game, and he's going to collect the rent, and the rent's going to pay all this. Well, then all of a sudden the CDC says, you don't have to pay your landlord money. And then he had to come up with the banknote payment. And then he was talking, and then he comes in the spring, and he was ready for some work. And he was saying he sold a job, and he was so weak because he had lost so much weight because he hadn't eaten because he was trying to make those banknote payments. And he goes, I understand what you guys mean about winter's coming. And he laughed and laughed and laughed because he got it. He knew what we were talking about. And now I work with the guy. We trade jobs. And, you know, I mean, but he understood. But
he couldn't understand until he actually went through it. And then he ended up, I'm so proud of that guy for pulling it off. And, you know, it was good that he said, I'm glad I went through it. It was tough. He's like, I get what you guys are saying. And, yeah, he's a good guy. He's a good kid. And I'm really proud of him for pulling it off. And because he did it. He actually did it. So that's the mentality people need to have, you know. Like, no matter what, we're going to make it. And, you know, and he didn't cry about it. He just did it.
That's right. Well, you know, Zach, along those lines, guess what? America, winter is coming. It is coming. We've just stepped into fall in the physical. And we should have about 3 good months of that. And winter is coming in more ways than one. Well, guys, we're out of time. Thank everybody for joining us. Remnant, we do want to invite you to church tomorrow. You can join us at scripturesforamerica.org. You can click on the live video stream starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 out on the West Coast. And we do encourage you to join us. We'll have, we will be speaking from the Word of God. How about that? And so we do ask and make it available for you to join us. We hope that you will. God bless. We'll see you there.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever, God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, stay high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, stay high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting at the end of our ride.